Healing and Recovering from UFO Contacts. From the book UFO, Healings, True Accounts of People Healed by Extraterrestrials by Preston Dennett. Introduction: most of the films made from UFO contacts gives the impression that they are hostile or threatening, only take frightened Earth people against their will, for the purpose of testing or taking specimen. According to the 2006 book of Stephen Greer, much or most of those abductions are done by secret MIL groups, in the purpose of making fear of all kind of ETs. Another example of MIL-sponsored fear films is Independence Day. Yes, sponsored by the military and the purpose in making a new enemy picture, when Russia has gone as an enemy, and until the long-planned new one was presented. War on Terror, but this enemy picture of ETs are wrong, as you can read in this extracts from a very good book that should be read. Here from page 21 on the chapter Cures of Flesh Wounds and Other Injuries, contactees appear to experience a great number of UFO healings. Being involved with extraterrestrials evidently has its benefits. Miraculous healings are only one of the many wonderful experiences that contactees are privileged to have. In many of these cases, the contactee is actually taken inside of the UFO and cured of whatever illness demands attention. The following case is a perfect example. Case number 033. In January of 1974, contactee Dr. Frank E. Stranges drove out of Las Vegas, Nevada in order to rendezvous with the extraterrestrials out in the desert. Stranges claims to be in contact with friendly extraterrestrials who look like normal humans. The aliens claim to come from Venus. Remark: this is a higher vibratory plane of the planet that bears life on what we call the middle astral plane, but these beings have the power to adjust their normal higher body frequency to this of our Earth. Rune remark: yes, the alien claimed to come from Venus, and Strange's alien friend is named Valiant Thor. On the way to meet Valiant Thor, Strange's was attacked along a desert road by several men in a large black car. The men physically assaulted, angrip, Strange's. As he says, I was thrown to the ground and kicked over and over again. Before long, Strange's had sustained numerous bruises, stotskada and a badly crushed hand. In the middle of the assault, Valiant Thor showed up and rescued Strange's from the attackers. Strange's was taken inside a UFO where he was treated for his injuries. As Strange's says, as I lay atop the soft white table, I was conscious of the beam of soft blue light that emitted from the cone-shaped instrument, which was aimed first at my head, then at my solar plexus. I immediately went into a deep sleep. Upon awakening, I felt good all over. Contactees are often given a difficult mission by their extraterrestrial friends. These missions typically include taking steps to help end wars, poverty, pollution and hunger. Contactees are also often expected to tell about their experiences in hopes of raising the spiritual awareness of humanity. Because of these missions, it is essential that the contactees maintain good health. However, sometimes accidents occur. And occasionally, these accidents seem to warrant alien intervention, as is true in the following case. Case number 027. In 1971, in Southern California, contactee Dr. Fred Bell and two of his friends were the victims of a crude pipe bomb explosion. All three were injured, however, Bell was thrown off his feet and onto the sidewalk where he lost consciousness. He was rushed to Laguna Memorial Hospital. When he awoke, he discovered that his left hand, upper left shoulder and neck were badly burned. He also sustained a minor skull fracture and many painful bruises all over his body. Dr. Bell claims to have been in contact with human-looking aliens from the Pleiades. The contacts began as a child and continued throughout his life. They have given him life-saving warnings and valuable advice. They also gave him an innocuous-looking necklace called a receptor. Bell was told that it would protect him from harm. While alone in the hospital room, Bell felt the necklace heat up and send marvelous energy into his body. Within minutes, he was completely healed. His visiting friends watched with disbelief as he removed the bandages and declared himself cured. The next morning, Bell had the enjoyable experience of watching the hospital physicians run a number of tests in an attempt to explain his miraculous cure. As one of the physicians reportedly said, "This is impossible. You have no trace of the severe burns that had damaged your left hand, upper left shoulder, and your neck. There is no longer evidence of a skull fracture. And what with all those bruises, eh? You were covered with bruises. Where did they disappear to?" The doctor was reportedly very upset and actually accused Bell of having faked the injuries. However, because Bell appeared to be in perfect health, they were forced to let him go. Bell did not tell the doctors about the receptor necklace, which he believes cured him with some unknown energy. Another similar case of a UFO healing occurred to a contactee who also claims to be in contact with the Pleiadians. This case has never been published before and was investigated by the author. Case number 040. Sometime in the mid-1970s, contactee Anthony Champlain, pseudonym, of Florida, was taken aboard a UFO and healed of an injury. Anthony claims to be in contact with extraterrestrials from the Pleiades. Like Fred Bell and other Pleiadian contactees, he has experienced many adventures aboard the alien ships. Unfortunately, Anthony doesn't recall the exact date of his healing, nor does he recall exactly what type of injury he had. He admits that his memory of the event is somewhat sketchy. Yet he knows that the injury was on his arm and hand, where he had hurt himself by falling. He also remembers being taken aboard the Pleiadian craft where he was healed. His good friend was also taken aboard and examined. Like many people, Anthony was cured of his injury by a beam of light. As he says in his own words, "It was a slow, moving beam of light. It was a slow, moving beam, and it slowly hit you. And you sort of watched it." She said, "It isn't going to hurt. Because I thought, is it going to hurt?" She said, "No, it isn't going to hurt." I said, out loud, "What are you doing?" She said, "Is there some part of your body that is broken?" I said, "Yes, well, you're fixing it?" She said, "Yes, we're fixing it. Not fixing, repairing, something like that." To this day, Anthony continues, "I don't remember what it was that they fixed. Because I kept trying to think, what was broken. I can't remember what was broken. That was the funny thing about it. I remember some discussion that something was broken. I remember that they were repairing it. And I don't remember what it was that was broken." There may actually be a good reason why Anthony can't remember. As is well known in the UFO field, some ETs often block out people's memories of their time aboard the ship. As Anthony says, "I think it was blacked out. I wasn't sure what it was. I remember, I got longer in clothes. I remember some aspect of it." She said, "Are you ashamed?" I said, "No. Something like that. I forget the actual details of it. But my other friend was, and he was watching, and he was thinking, 'This guy's naked.' And she asked him, 'Are you ashamed?' And he said, 'Yes. So, I don't know.'" He went into another room. The following case involves a man who was cured of multiple injuries and illnesses as they occurred throughout his life. Case number 006. One winter in the early 1950s, in New Jersey, Richard Rylker, then a young child, was playing outside in the snow with his friends. They were sleigh riding down steep hills near their homes. While racing down the hill, Rylker was unable to steer and he crashed into a car that was driving up the hill. The driver didn't even see Rylker, who was pushed under the car, thrown off the sled and knocked unconscious. By the time the driver found him, Rylker had been laying on his left side in the snow for many minutes. His left ear was badly frostbitten and he developed an instant ear infection, which destroyed his hearing in that ear. His doctors considered performing a mastoidectomy, but instead they decided to try a radical new drug called penicillin. Rylker, although a child, had seen UFOs on several occasions. He remembers going outside and being beamed messages from the aliens. As of yet, However, they had not visited him physically. As he lay in the hospital, Raka was surprised when the ETs, named Karan and Nepos, came to the hospital itself for the sole purpose of curing him. The aliens were able to partially cure Raka. Using their own body energies, the aliens were able to get rid of the pain and pressure. After the aliens left, Raka was still unable to hear. But following several more doses of penicillin, his hearing returned. Case number 024. Sometime in the 1960s, while a young man, Raka was born in 1941, Raka was working for a medical firm. On one particular occasion, he was instructed by his supervisor to transport a barrel of chemicals. To do this, Raka had to operate a piece of heavy equipment called a drum lifter. Heavy machinery is often dangerous, and somehow Raka's index finger became caught in the machinery and crushed. Raka's screams called the attention of co-workers who helped him to free his finger, which was white and terribly distorted. He soon lost feeling in the finger and was unable to move it. Raka was rushed to the company's first aid room and the nurse told him to go to the hospital at once. Raka took a cab to Middlesex General Hospital in Brunswick, New Jersey, where doctors applied ice, pack and prepared for X-rays. Raka was alone in the emergency room when the ETs, Karan and Nepos, appeared, and held their hands over this finger and cured him using body energies. Although the finger was numb for many months, the cure was effective enough to straighten the bone and close the broken skin. When the doctors returned, they found no signs of injury and sent him back to work. Later, Raka was contacted by the company nurse who had read his hospital file with disbelief. She told Raka flat out, "You were supposed to lose that finger." She demanded to know what happened, but Raka remained silent about his alien friends. Case number 026. In 1970, Raka had a devastating automobile accident in New Jersey. His body was so badly mangled, he had a near-death experience. While many people see deceased relatives during a near-death experience, Raka saw his alien friends who told him that his body was so badly injured, he should be dead. They promised to heal him, and also warned him of drastic changes to his life at home and work. All the predictions of the aliens came true. Raka also received other cures, which will be covered in later chapters. A very similar case of a healing after an auto accident took place in Atlanta, Georgia. I was able to interview the main witness in depth regarding the incident. Case number 053. Alicia Hansen, not her real name, has been having contacts for many years. In 1987, in Atlanta, Georgia, she miraculously survived what everyone thought should have been a fatal accident. As it turned out, the accident was fatal and Alicia had been literally brought back to life by her alien contacts. As Alicia says, "I was in a really bad car accident, very bad. I got hit head on. I was a passenger in the car. I knocked out the side window with my face and then I went face first through the windshield. I had to go to the emergency room and everything. They thought my neck and back were broken. I went face first through the windshield. Point one, had to go through physical therapy for a year, learning how to walk again. I had a lot of internal damage done. My jaw was dislocated and all kinds of other stuff." Despite her extensive injuries, the paramedics couldn't understand why Alicia hadn't been hurt more badly. What was strange was that her face was completely unmarked. Alicia had no memory of being healed. All she remembers is waking up to find herself lying in the street. It was years later, under hypnosis, that Alicia found out the truth of what really happened that night. As Alicia says, "I was doing a regression one night and I saw that I had actually died in that accident. I didn't have a cut, I didn't have a scratch on my face. I knocked out two windows, went through the windshield, and I had not a scratch. And everybody thought that was really weird. But I saw that I broke my neck, and I saw that they were doing surgery on me. They were fixing my brain stem. They were putting me back together. I saw all of that. and my face was just devastated. I saw this brainstem had been broken, damaged, and they repaired that. And my face was really cut and they just whoosh, they fixed it. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was just healed. And I didn't have a cut, not a scratch, nothing. They left certain things, but they fixed the most important. And they were also doing something. They said my metabolic rate was really messed up. Alicia doesn't understand how the aliens were able to heal her before the paramedics even arrived. However, she learned from later experiences that the aliens have the ability to travel in time. During the experience, Alicia also says that there was an exchange of souls to some degree. She says, "I'm kind of hesitant to talk about it because I don't understand it completely yet. But the weird thing about it was when I saw this, and I saw this accident, there was some sort of an exchange. Like a higher part of myself changed places with myself. Some from Edouard Meyer's healings from Semp J's. Swiss farmer Edouard Meyer is without a doubt one of the most famous contactees of all times. He claims to have had hundreds of contacts with human-like aliens from the Pleiades. Meyer's story is supported by a large amount of evidence, including moving films, photos, audio recordings, landing traces, metal fragments, animal evidence, medical evidence and multiple eyewitness testimonies. Meyer, like most contactees, has been instructed by his alien friends to tell others of his contacts. For this reason Meyer has reported his experiences publicly. Like most contactees, Meyer, as we shall see, has received a number of healings. The following case is a typical example of an injury cured by extraterrestrials. Case number 037. On April 3, 1976, contactee Edouard Meyer of Switzerland was instructed by the aliens to go to a certain location where a flight demonstration of the alien crafts would take place. Meyer was told that he could bring his friends and also take photographs. Unfortunately, the group was followed by unwanted human visitors who caused the demonstration to be cancelled. Meyer was instructed telepathically by the aliens to depart the area. As he was leaving, he was pursued by the unwelcome observers. In his haste to escape, he ended up crashing his moped. He has only one arm after an injury long ago. The crash damaged the motorbike and also hurt Mia, who had a fractured rib, a dislocated shoulder, a twisted foot and several abrasions. 3 days later, Mia was visited by his Pleiadian friend, Sam Jays, who offered to cure his painful broken rib. She held a small device to the broken rib, and instructed Meyer to sit between the two poles on the instrument. She told Meyer, "The rib, bones will be completely regenerated after this process. There will be nothing left to indicate that they had been broken." Meyer felt a sudden electrical sensation and then nothing. He knew instantly he was cured because the pain was gone. Sam Jays was unable to reduce the swelling only because the correct instrument was not available at the time. Mia's injuries and cure were verified by other witnesses. Incidentally, Mia has only one arm, having lost one in a bus accident. During one of his contacts, the aliens offered to grow him a new limb. Mia declined, fearing that people would ask too many questions. As we have seen, the healing of a flesh wound by UFOs is usually done by beams of light. But these healings are not always limited to humans. There is at least one case on record in which a human saw an alien cured aboard a UFO. Case number 041. In July of 1978, world famous contactee Edouard Billy Meyer of Switzerland came down with a bad cold that developed almost instantly into severe pneumonia. Edouard was so weak, he was scarcely able to hold up a glass of water to drink. Meyer, however, happens to be one of the most influential contactees to date. His case is highly controversial because of the large number of crystal, clear photographs of UFOs taken by Meyer. Despite this, or perhaps because of it, the case has divided the UFO community. Meyer, however, has a mission to perform, which is in part to tell the world about his contacts. Evidently he is succeeding, as there are over 8 books and 5 films about the case, with more of each on the way. Because the Mir case seems to be of such profound importance, it is not at all surprising that when he developed pneumonia, the aliens were there to help. Mir was given instructions to go to a certain location. He had his friends take him to the spot. Evidently Mir's condition was life-threatening, for the aliens boldly took Mir in full view of his friends. Several witnesses clearly saw Mir disappear in front of their eyes in a flash of bluish light. Mir says that he was taken inside the UFO where he underwent an operation. Human-looking aliens used strange instruments to drain the pleural area of his chest of a considerable amount of pus and liquid. His alien friends told him in no uncertain terms that if they had not intervened, he would surely have died. They told him that next time, he should not delay to see a human doctor. A half hour later, he was let out of the craft and rejoined his astonished friends. The change in Mir left his friends speechless. Before being taken aboard, Mir was near death. His face had a gray color and his eyes had a deep sunken appearance. Afterwards, Mir's pneumonia was gone. He was sprightly and smiling, and appeared to be in perfect health. Pneumonia cures may be actually more common than many people suppose. David Jacobs, author of Secret Life, is one of the world's leading authorities on UFO abductions. Although Jacobs is somewhat skeptical of many contactee claims, he does admit that some of his abductee clients report being cured by the extraterrestrials. As he says, at least 2 abductees have reported that their cases of pneumonia were cured during their abductions. 5 As it turns out, Edouard Mir is probably the only person on records who has been cured twice of pneumonia by the aliens. His first cure occurred when he was an infant, as the following case shows. It is the second earliest recorded case of a UFO healing. Case number 002. In 1937, when contactee Edouard Mir was only 6 months old, he contracted pneumonia. He learned later on that the family physician, Dr. Strabel, expected Mir would die. He told Mir's parents that nothing could be done and that they should prepare themselves for the death of their son. That evening, Mir had his first extraterrestrial contact with an alien named Svath. Svath administered to Mir and cured him of his pneumonia. Mir was told of this incident at a later contact, so he asked his mother to verify the information. To his surprise, she said that it was true. He had nearly died of pneumonia as a baby, but had suddenly and inexplicably recovered. His mother remembered how they had spoken of his recovery as a miracle. Quite often people can suffer with fevers that arise from unknown diseases. Occasionally these fevers can be dangerously high, which can be fatal, unless, of course, there is extraterrestrial intervention, as this next case illustrates. Case number 025. Jerry Wills of Kentucky had his first contact with extraterrestrials in 1965, when he was 12 years old. At that time, he would stay outside, night after night, watching star-like objects darting at right angles high in the sky over his house. A few months later, he had a close-up sighting of a typical flying saucer, a hovering metallic ship with blinking colored lights. The next year, in the same location out in the woods, he was approached by a blonde-haired blue-eyed stranger dressed in a beige jumpsuit and a silver belt. The man said his name was Zoe, and that he was an extraterrestrial. And so began a very complex series of contacts in which Jerry was taught about science, history, philosophy, religion and other subjects. The aliens visited him 3 to 6 times a month for over 5 years. The teachings seem to have been highly effective, for Jerry Wills has invented several items including a sighting and control helmet pilots, a virtual reality device, and a guardian crystal which allegedly allows its user to detect auras. Jerry Wills must have been considered valuable to the aliens. Into teaching him many things, they cured him when he was quite ill. It was nighttime and Jerry was in his room suffering from a high in the middle of the night. The aliens came and took him inside their ship. He was surprised to see the often described gray-type aliens. They told him telepathically to relax and let them do their work. He was given an injection in each arm. The next morning, he woke up and found that his fever was gone. He recovered completely in less than a day. Although he has not had any other cures, Jerry still remains in contact with his alien friends. As we have seen, contactees are often healed of their illnesses and injuries, presumably so that they can fulfill the missions given to them by the extraterrestrials. The following case is a perfect example. It is also one of the earliest recorded cases of the UFO healing. Howard Menger. Case number 004. In April of 1945, on the island of Okinawa in the Pacific Ocean, contactee and professional painter Howard Menger was tossed right into the middle of World War II. Menger was on one of the aircraft that saturated the Japanese-held island with bombs. After dropping hundreds of bombs and peppering the shore with machine gunfire, the Americans were able to take control of the island. Still, the Japanese continued to attack. Some had managed to survive the bombing by hiding in caves. These men would continue to attack in the style of guerrilla warfare. Also, a nearby Japanese-held island shelled Okinawa constantly. Although it caused little real damage, it was one of these shellings which proved disastrous for Menger. One day, as he patrolled the airstrip, another shell from the nearby island fell short of its target and landed on the airstrip. Menger heard it coming, so he fell to the ground and stayed low. After the explosion, he was relieved to have escaped injury. Then he felt something hit his eye. As he says, "As I got to my feet, I felt something stinging in my right eye. I put my hand to my eye and managed to pick something out with my fingers. It was a piece of shrapnel." Menger rushed to the medical tent where he received treatment. Unfortunately, the eye became badly infected. Before long, Menger was totally blind in his right eye. Menger was, of course, unable to perform his duties, and remained in the medical tent under the care of the overworked doctors and nurses. Unfortunately, Menger's eye infection was very severe, and it quickly spread to his other eye. Before long, Menger was totally blind in both eyes. He was very upset and kept the news from his family back home. He also remembered what his extraterrestrial friends had told him. Ever since he was a little boy, Menger had been contacted repeatedly by human-like aliens who claimed to be from various planets in our solar system on different vibratory plane. Through the years, Menger had many typical contact adventures. He was taken aboard the UFO and given a tour of the moon. He was given instructions about how to build an energy for motor. He was told many predictions which later came true. He was able to take his friends to see the UFO and was provided with further demonstrations to prove the existence of his aliens' friends. He was even allowed to photograph the UFOs, the aliens, and his trip to the moon. Many of these photographs appear in the book he wrote about his experiences. But most important here, Menger received a healing from the aliens. As he says, "Something happened in the hospital tent that I have often wondered about. Perhaps I can never be certain." Menger states that during his stay in the hospital tent, he was visited by an unidentified and very kind lady. When Menger asked if she was a nurse, she didn't reply and told him that he was the one she had come to see. Menger was struck by the fact that she seemed to know a good deal about him. Although no specific medical treatment is mentioned, Menger had a sneaking suspicion that she was one of his extraterrestrial friends, and that she was sent to help him. As Menger says, "She assured me my sight would be restored." Very gradually, Menger's sight returned and he was able to behold the lady who had helped him. He saw an attractive woman with wavy brown hair, dark eyes, and fine white teeth. She was dressed in the normal army nurse's uniform. Menger had further reason to believe that the lady was actually an alien. As he says, "Although I suspected she was one of the space people, she never made herself known directly. Near the time of my release, she said that I would soon meet a very interesting person. I assumed it would be another contact. the prediction made by the mysterious lady turned out to be correct. About 2 weeks later, he had a strong impulse to drive to a remote area on the island.